It's been a couple of weeks, but picking up where I left off the last time, the last issue that I dealt with in the 5 points of Calvinism was the preservation of the saints. In my mind, that is, it's hard to label it, but it's probably the most insidious doctrine of Calvinism. It leaves a believer uncertain of his or her election and salvation because they allege something that just is not in the Bible. They allege that there's something called initial justification and then final justification. Now, I want to go deeper into that this week. They claim that at what they label as the first act of faith, the individual merely comes to realize that God is already what God's already done in electing him or her. And when did God do this electing of the individual? You'll know that Calvinists teach that infants, when yet unborn, are regenerated, even though they have no knowledge of Christ. And upon birth, infant baptism, which is sprinkling, it's not baptism at all, biblically speaking, is to be practiced as a sign that the child is regenerated. Now, that has to be in Hezekiah 12:9, because I haven't found it any place in the Bible. And as you know, there's a person named Hezekiah, but there's no book of Hezekiah. I'm just being facetious about it. But there is absolutely, positively no scriptural support for this or for infant baptism, as you know. So what about this doctrine of final justification, the final act of justification? This is what John Piper is very, very popular these days. He's claims to be a Baptist of sort, but he's a new Calvinist. And here's what Piper says about final justification. I'm quoting him now. "We do not breathe easy after a person has prayed to receive Christ, as though we can be assured from our perspective that they are not beyond the reach of the evil one. There is a fight of faith to be fought." And then he says this: "We must endure to the end in faith if we are to be saved." Now, what they do is they teach that it's not until after death that all the works are used as evidence to determine if a person is saved or if a person is not saved. If there is sufficient evidence, now what constitutes sufficient evidence, but if there is sufficient evidence, the person is elect. If not, he or she isn't elect. According to Calvinists, it's only at this point that an individual will know for certain if he or she is saved. In fact, according to Louis Burkhoff, in his book titled Systematic Theology, and I quote, it says this: "No person can be sure he or she is a true believer until after death at the Great White Throne Judgment." That's their Systematic Theology book by Louis Burkhoff. Wow. You know, the first thing is, as I'm thinking through this, they have to have ripped 1 John out of their Bible. We read in 1 John 5:13, and it's one I'm sure that you've all memorized. "These things have I written to you," the Apostle John said in his old age, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "these things I've written to you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." End quote. Pretty simple. pretty straightforward, pretty clear. You can know. Now, biblically, justification is not a two-step process. It is a single act, a single act of faith. Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to expand on that a little bit and take us back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 through 28. And here's what it says. Being justified freely by his grace. It doesn't say anything about works. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this in verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. Whose righteousness? Declare Christ's righteousness for our remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he, God, might be just, and that he, God, might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. Now, are works involved? Is there a final act of justification? Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's a rhetorical question. There ain't none. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay! But by the law of faith. First justification, the only justification, faith in Jesus Christ and his blood. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's no final justification. I'm going to go back to the word propitiation here. There's notes on the little podium if you want the notes, but propitiation. What in the world is propitiation? Let me explain propitiation to you. Christ, in his perfect life and, in his perfect life and atonement and substitutionary death, has satisfied the wrath of God against the sins that we have committed. God's wrath is appeased and the offender is reconciled or made peace with God. That's what propitiation is. God's wrath is appeased by the death and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. And that is why, as Romans chapter 3, 24 through 28, God declares us righteous because Christ has appeased the wrath of God through his sinless life and his propitiatory or his death in our place. We are declared righteous. It has nothing to do with our works. It has nothing to do with the keeping of the law. It has nothing to do with initial justification and then final justification as we keep the law. As a biblicist, I hold that believers' sins have all been judged on the cross of Calvary. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote his sacred head for such a worm as I? The answer is yes. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him. I love this. Having forgiven you What's the next word? All. What does all mean? You can't twist that. All means all, and that's all means. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what it means. Hath forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and which was contrary to us. Where did that go? And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Where's final justification there? It was all taken care of by Jesus Christ. By the way, if all of our sins were forgiven, remember that all of our sins were future when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. So there's no initial justification. Then you keep the works your best you can for final justification. On the contrary, you know I love the little song. Our songs are G-O-N-E, gone. I love that song because they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I hope you've memorized that one as well. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That's why he could be sin for us, because he knew no sin. Now look at this. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm so thankful. Believers will never, ever appear before the great white throne judgment. Our works will simply be evaluated, as we saw in Sunday school, at the judgment seat of Christ for rewards or the loss of rewards. And I'm not going to read through all the scriptures because we did that in Sunday school this morning, went through them all. 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. There at the Bema seat, the judgment seat, motives, actions will be revealed and things will be made right between the believers, but no one who appears at the judgment seat of Christ will be unsaved. You know who appears at the judgment seat of Christ? Only saved people. You know who appears at the great white throne of judgment? Only unsaved people. It is a time, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is a time of final preparation before the bride is gloriously clothed in white linen, which represents her righteousness that Christ has given us. This is the preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then, guess what's going to happen? We're going to come back and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I do not believe in the Calvinistic doctrine, and you shouldn't believe in it either. I do not believe in the perseverance of the saints as stated in Calvinism. I believe in the preservation of believers as defined in the Bible. Well, let me sum it up simply. Perseverance, let me get it right. Perseverance is, by definition, man hanging on to God, while the definition of preservation is God hanging on to man. How thankful I am for God hanging on to me. Why do I and why should you believe in the preservation of believers? Well, we're all kept by the promise of God, amen? John 6, 37 through 39, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is a covenant between God and Jesus. And when we've been given eternal life, Jesus is going to be sure, and it has God's stamp of approval on it, that we're going to be his for all of eternity. I'm banking on God's promise being true as revealed in the scriptures. Amen? That's what we should do. And you already know we are kept by the power of God. We've already mentioned it, John 10:28-30, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus says. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the passion of God. This is one of my favorite verses in Romans. I love it. It says this, I'm persuaded. Say it if you know it, or read it off the page. For I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Woo! If that doesn't ring your bell, you're missing a clapper, my friends. We are kept by the priesthood of God. In Hebrews, it says this, and they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. That's talking about the Levitical priesthood. But now look at this. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Who's that? King Jesus. And as a result of that, wherefore he, Jesus, is able to save us, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Jesus, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I like the song too. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. My risen Savior preserves my salvation. It's not based upon me. And we are kept by the presence of God. It says this, in whom also ye trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest, the down payment, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's that? Our body is going to be reunited with our soul and spirit in redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. I think of what Calvinists believe. Talbert and Crampton said this, it should be obvious that Calvinist doctrine of perseverance of the saints is not one and the same thing as once saved, always saved. See, they lied to me when they said, you've got to be a Calvinist because of total depravity, and if you believe in once saved, always saved, you're a Calvinist. No. And I went around for a number of years, even the early years I was here, saying, yeah, I believe in total depravity. I believe in total depravity, but not that you're dead like a rock. Because remember Luke chapter 16, the rich man, he's in hell, and what does he want? If he's dead like a rock, he wouldn't say anything. He says, send somebody to my family. No. They lied to me. No. I believe that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that we are depraved, that we are sinful, but that we still, faith cometh by hearing. Stones don't hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Talbot and Crampton, in their books, make it obvious. It should be obvious that Calvinist doctrine of perseverance of the saints is not one and the same as once saved, always saved. That's back on page 2 of your study notes, and for some reason I skipped over that section, but I'll tell you, it is not the same. Let me just tell you how many points Calvinist I am. Can you see this? That's goose eggs. Believers have been preserved. I'm so thankful. God is holding us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God for your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible that we're preserved blameless? Well, I think that's easily possible because that is, the dollar word is imputation. It simply means added to your account. We read from Colossians that our sins were imputed to who? Christ, and they were nailed to his cross. But the cool part of that is Christ's righteousness is put on our account. And my friends, you are as good as in heaven already. God views you as seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Glory! 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You know what that is? We're born again. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope. How is that possible? What if Jesus only died and didn't raise from the dead? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us we'd still be in our sins. But we have been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I like this part. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But don't stop there. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The complete benefit of our salvation is going to be revealed at the rapture. This old body that's getting frailer and frailer is going to be replaced by an immortal body like Jesus's. It won't have to eat, but it can eat. Jesus did eat. Jesus did drink. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I know that without knocking on the door, Jesus appeared in person to his disciples and then left again. I do know that we will never get sick again. I do know we won't be able to be injured again. I do know that we are going to have that glorified body and be with Jesus, not only to the 1,000 years of ruling and reigning with him. You know, that's going to be an interesting time. Have you ever thought about it? There's going to be physical people with flesh and blood that go into, they're all going to be saved people that first come into the 1,000-year period. The sheep and the goats ensure that. The sheep into the 1,000 years, the goats into hell. But there's going to be people with literal physical bodies just like ours. But then we're going to be there too. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to tell the difference, because truly, until Jesus did some of the things, they couldn't tell the difference. He could sit down, he could walk, he could talk. You remember what he said, Thomas, stick your fingers in there. So he had a literal, here, put your hand in here. That's the only man-made thing that's going to be in heaven, is the marks on Jesus. It's going to be an interesting time. But then there's going to be literally millions of babies being born, because the curse is going to be lifted. There is not going to be the pain in childbirth. And so there's going to be millions. That's why Satan is loose for a little season, because people have to choose whether they're going to follow King Jesus. And he is just ruled and reigned completely in peace. No war, no murders, no thefts for 1,000 years, friends. And people are going to say, you know, it was a mistake saying we're not going to have this man rule over us, because it's going to be holiness unto the Lord. And if somebody dies at 100 years of age, they're going to think they were a baby. There's people going to be born during the millennium that are going to live as long as Methuselah. I can't even imagine that. Yeah, what's your birthday? Well, I'm 796. Okay. Yes. But what a day it's going to be. And my friends, we are justified by faith because of Jesus Christ's taking our place. Jesus Christ being our propitiation. Christ paying the price and satisfying the wrath of God that he must have against sin. Jesus took on him. And it gives us a little bit better of an idea as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He'd never been out of fellowship for a nanosecond from his Father in eternity past. But when the sins of all mankind were laid upon him, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know why, and he knew why, because the prophet said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look upon sin. And that's why Peter wrote, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. There is not two-step justification. There is one-step justification, believing in the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. And once we believe, God says, you're not guilty because of what Jesus Christ has done. and I say, glory. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're missing it. You're missing it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, wow. What you're going to suffer is really indescribable. And yet it is hard for me to wrap my brain around all of the neat stuff that you and I, who have been justified, are going to experience for the 1,000 years and then for all of eternity. If you don't know Christ, remember that he died for your sins, shed his blood. He was buried to prove that he was dead. And then he rose again, and God declared him to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Heavenly